Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. And let us stand together as we give honor to the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. And remember, God's word is holy, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. May the Lord bless the reading of his own word. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Please be seated and let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for this time whereby we can open your precious word. Father, you have said, "But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word." Father, trembling at your word is also a form of worship. Father, you have given us this means of grace, the preaching of God's word. Lord, speak to us. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive your instruction. Humble us, O God. Impress your wonderful truths found in this text in our hearts. And so we ask for the guiding of the Holy Spirit, for the illumination of the word by the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In history, there had been many martyrs. In the Old Testament scriptures, we read that prophets were killed when they brought God's word to the Israelites. Not only in the Old Testament, we also read about martyrs in the New Testament and throughout history until now. The word martyr means witness, but it also means one who dies for the faith in Christ. So many believers have become martyrs for the sake of the gospel. To be a follower of Jesus certainly is not easy. We may need to pay a price at times. That price could be the sacrifice of our time, energy, finance, and even our life. A follower of Jesus must be prepared to die for faith in Christ. What we observe in today's text is a martyr. one who died for the faith in Jesus. And that is Stephen the martyr in the New Testament. In fact, Stephen is the first martyr in the New Testament. We are going to examine this text under four headings. Four headings. Number one, anger. Anger, verse 54. Number two, vision of heaven, verses 55 and 56. Vision of heaven. Three, violence. Violence, verses 57 and 58. And fourth, prayer. Prayer, verses 59 and 60. So let us begin by looking at the first heading, anger. By now we should be familiar with Stephen. He was a man full of faith. He was appointed as a deacon and he preached Christ. The freedmen, referring to the Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputed with Stephen. Why? Because they could not oppose the wisdom and the spirit of Stephen. So they schemed to trap Stephen. They fabricated stories that Stephen blasphemed against Moses and God, and also the temple and the law. They stirred people and religious leaders. They set up false witnesses and forcefully brought Stephen before the Sanhedrin. So Stephen was a man full of the Spirit, and he recalled the scriptures from his memory and articulated brilliantly and made systematic arguments defending himself from the allegation of blasphemy. He proved that the Jewish forefathers and the Sanhedrin were the ones who actually blasphemed Moses and God, and also the temple and the law, and not Stephen. In the previous segment, Stephen boldly and fearlessly accused them of being stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, meaning the Sanhedrin was stubborn and not God's people and were unwilling to listen to God's word. Their ancestors were responsible for the death of the prophets, and the Sanhedrin was responsible for the death of the righteous one, Jesus Christ. Now, what happens when you are confronted with your sin? What happens when you are confronted with your sin? Two things can happen. One, acknowledge sin humbly. Number two, rebel with pride. Acknowledge sin humbly or rebel with pride. Now, remember what happened on the day of the Pentecost. Peter preached a moving sermon. And what was the effect of that preaching? The hearers, the audience, the hearers were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. And that's a phrase being used by Luke. They were cut to the heart. And what is the meaning of this phrase, cut to the heart? Simply, it means conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. In order to be convicted of sin, you must have tender heart. Tender heart. Without a tender heart, you would not acknowledge sin humbly. But Peter's hearers acknowledged their sins humbly because they had tender heart. And because they had tender hearts, they repented and were baptized. They received forgiveness for their sins and the Holy Spirit. So the hearers received the word gladly and were baptized. You know, on that day, 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls were saved. In this text, we hear the same phrase again. Cut to the heart. And look at verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. Here in verse 54, we find that Stephen's hearers were cut to the heart. However, there's a great distinction between Peter's hearers and Stephen's hearers. Look at the second part of verse 54. And they gnashed at him with their teeth. Stephen's hearers ground their teeth. It is the metaphor for rage, anger. Stephen's hearers did not have tender hearts. Their hearts were hardened like a rock. They rejected the preaching of God's word. They displayed no repentance concerning their sins. You cannot expect repentance when one's heart is hard as stone. They rebelled God's word with full of pride, and they expressed their anger by gnashing at Stephen with their teeth. Now, are your hearts tender like Peter's hearers, or hardened as rock like the hearers of Stephen? We must learn to be like the Thessalonians. You know, when the apostles preached God's word, the Thessalonians received the word gladly as God's word. And what about reverence? Do you tremble at God's word? As believers, when God's word pricks us, we must not get angry, but rather acknowledge our sin and repent. When you approach God's word every time, do you come with diligent preparation and prayer? Maybe it's worship or Bible study. When you come to the word, do you come with diligent preparation and prayer? Do you pray for God's word to cut your heart and change you? If you do not allow God's word to prick us, then there is no opportunity for us to be transformed or to grow in grace and faith in Jesus. Now the Sanhedrin was angry, but interestingly not Stephen. So we come to the second heading, vision of heaven. Stephen was mesmerized by the vision of heaven that he saw. Look at verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He stared into heaven. And what did he see? He saw the glory of God. Let us not forget how Stephen began his arguments in chapter 7, verse 21. Sorry, chapter 7, verse 2. He began by recalling how God of glory appeared to Abraham. And now, Stephen himself saw the glory of God in Jesus. In the vision of heaven, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Notice something here. Luke did not record for us as Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, but rather Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And that's what Stephen saw. In other words, it meant that Jesus sitting at the right hand of God means Jesus has accomplished fully and perfectly the work of salvation for sinners. That's what it means, sitting, Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. That Jesus had accomplished fully and perfectly the work of salvation for sinners, and no more sacrifice needed. Christ became the last and final sacrifice for our sins. He purchased peace for us with God. So Jesus fully and perfectly accomplished the atonement for sinners and thus sat down at the right hand of God. But note the second time Stephen was saying, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God," in verse 56. When we hear this title, Son of Man, it refers to the humanity of Christ. That is, Jesus being divine, being God, took upon himself human body. And it is him that the Jewish religious leaders persecuted and crucified. But now the risen and ascended Jesus was standing at the right hand of God with his human body. Jesus is now in heaven with his human body. And this is the proof that we have. Stephen testifies that Jesus is now in heaven with his human body. And Stephen is the eyewitness for us. You know, Stephen was able to see this the spectacular vision of heaven. And how was that possible? The answer is this: because Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. His mind was always fixated in Jesus and the heavenly things. Have you asked yourself this question, whether you're full of the Holy Spirit? Has anyone described you as, "Wow, I can see that you are filled with the Holy Spirit"? But Stephen was. The testimony of Stephen concerning Jesus in heaven caused extreme anger in the Sanhedrin. And what could be next? Violence. That's what we see in this text. Violence. So we come to the third heading, violence. The Sanhedrin could not bear any more listening to Stephen. They stopped their ears. They were uncircumcised in their ears. They refused to hear any more. They put their fingers in their ears. And they did not stop there. They gathered themselves in unity. They quickly formed a mob. With one accord, the mob dashed at Stephen. They cast him out of the city and they stoned him. And they stoned him to death. According to verse 60. What a brutal way to die. Now in the Old Testament, if anyone blasphemed God's name, the punishment was stoning, according to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16, which says, "And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death." So stoning was the Old Testament form of capital punishment for blasphemy. The Sanhedrin and the Jewish people judged Stephen for committing the crime of blasphemy. In fact, they took the law of capital punishment in their hands, which was forbidden by the Roman law. Remember, the Sanhedrin and the Jewish people were enraged, angry with the testimony of Jesus. They were filled with extreme sinful anger. Their uncontrolled sinful anger led them to murder Stephen. We can read from the scriptures. It tells us the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man, Saul. Saul was a Pharisee, and at the same time, he was a persecutor of the Christians. And he approved the death of Stephen. But later on, we will learn that this Saul will become Paul. He will be converted. But here the Jewish people murdered Stephen with anger. See how deadly anger can be. Anger can lead a person to murder someone. So Stephen was martyred for his faith in Jesus. His death was a violent death. You know, concerning martyrs, we can recall the reformers such as John Wycliffe, Bishop Hugh Latimer, Bishop Nicholas Ridley, etc., etc. There are many reformers who were martyred for their faith. They were burned on stakes. But then I wanted to find out about Indian martyrs, Indian pastors. I found several who were martyred for their faith. And I read about this pastor, Pastor Gideon Piriasamy, who died in 2018 in Chennai, Tamil Nadu, India. He was a Hindu convert, just like me. And he was ministering to the low caste people. And the high caste villagers who lived nearby were not happy. They were not happy that the lower caste Hindians were being led to Christ. And so they threatened to leave. They threatened him to leave the village or they would make his life miserable. The radical Hindus harassed him and beat him. But he urged his congregation to live peaceably with their neighbors. He had said to his fellow pastor, "If the Lord permits it, I would die as a martyr for Christ. If the Lord permits it, I would die as a martyr for Christ." But then on January 20, 2018, he was found dead, hanging from the ceiling at his home. Of course, Of course, he was not. He was murdered, and it was a setup, as if he committed suicide. But Pastor Gideon Periyasamy is just one example of martyr. There are many Christians in India are being persecuted by the radical Hindus. We must always be prepared for persecution. Persecution may come in various forms. It can come in abusive verbal language, or even in physical forms. But we must always be ready to die for Jesus. I'm not saying we must intentionally seek to be persecuted. No. We should escape persecution if possible. Sometimes based on circumstances. Sometimes based on circumstances, it may not be possible to escape persecution. So we must always be ready to die for our faith in Jesus. We may even face mob violence, just like Stephen. And the question is this: are we prepared? Are we prepared? We need to examine what is our devotion like to Jesus. If anyone desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. The cost of discipleship is very high, pricey, costly. We need to examine our devotion to Christ. And will our enemies see fear in our eyes or see our face as the face of an angel like Stephen? So we need to think through these questions and to be prepared for persecution. As Stephen was being stoned, he did not fail to call upon God. So we come to the fourth heading, prayer. See, prayer is the means of grace that God has given to believers. Whether in times of prosperity or adversity, whether in times of danger or peace, we can always call upon the Lord in prayer. And this was what Stephen was doing. Clearly, a mob violence was taking place. People were picking up from the ground stones, pebbles, and rocks, and they were throwing at Stephen. Probably Stephen was bleeding and experiencing excruciating pain. But then in the midst of the confusion, Stephen was calm to call upon Jesus. As they were stoning him, Stephen prayed to Jesus to receive him. He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Now, what do these words tell us? Stephen knew his destination after death. He knew his body would go to the ground, but his soul would go to heaven. And that's why he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit or soul." He knew his soul would not be annihilated. His soul would not be destroyed. He knew his enemies could only kill his body, but not his soul. He knew that his soul would be at the presence of Jesus when he dies. He had such assurance of his salvation. He had faith in Jesus, that Jesus would receive him. because he saw the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. The standing of Jesus assured Stephen that Jesus was ready to receive Stephen into heaven. So Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." My friends, we need to be like Stephen. We need to have assurance of our salvation. We need to have faith like Stephen that one day Jesus will receive us into heaven. My friends, do you know where you are going upon your death? Stephen knew exactly where he was going. If you are not sure, then I urge you to turn away from your sins. Put all your trust in this resurrected and ascended Jesus for your salvation. Because nobody can save you. Only Jesus can save you. And salvation is purely by God's grace. I cannot earn my salvation through my good works at all. Now, Stephen, as the stones were being hurled at him, he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And he fell asleep, meaning he died. Do you notice something in the words of Stephen? Do you notice his love and compassion, not for his friends, but for his enemies? Stephen prayed for his enemies to be pardoned. How many of y'all truly have prayed for your enemies? And moreover, Stephen showed no bitterness, anger, and even revengeful attitude towards his enemies. He did not display eye for an eye or tooth for tooth attitude. Instead, he sought God to forgive their sins. In fact, he was praying for the salvation of his enemies. This is what Jesus taught. Jesus taught, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. In other words, we ought to show love to those who persecute us and pray for them. What made Stephen to utter these prayers in the midst of the mob violence? What made Stephen to pray for the pardon of his enemies? The answer is very clear. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ was in Stephen. Look at verse 55. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. He was not only full of the Holy Spirit, but he was full of faith and full of wisdom. He had the countenance like the face of an angel. His godly characteristics are striking. Perhaps we should pray that God will enable us to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, and full of wisdom, like Stephen. Well, from this text, we examined four headings: anger, vision of heaven, violence, prayer. It is clear that Stephen was the first martyr in the New Testament. Let us remember that after Stephen, there were many other martyrs for Christ. There were many English reformers and Puritans who were martyred for their faith. Since the Reformation, many missionaries and pastors have been persecuted and killed. Persecution continues even today. Christians are being persecuted by radical Muslims and radical Hindus. These radicals may be gnashing their teeth at Christians. Nevertheless, let us pray for them. Let us love our enemies. Let us stand strong like Stephen the martyr. Let us gaze at Jesus who is seated at the right of God the Father. Let us be ready to pray like Stephen when circumstances arise. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not charge them with this sin. May the Lord grant us grace and strength, which we need abundantly. Amen.